Philippians a little bit, and some other passages. We're not going to be in the entire book, but we're going to look at a few passages of Scripture, and we're going to start, I'm going to reference a couple passages just briefly, but we'll start in Philippians chapter 4. So if you want to turn your Bibles there to Philippians chapter 4, as we look at the importance of partnership. Partnership, I like that. That's good. Ship. But I just want a little bit of background at the Church of Philippi. The Church of Philippi was one of the Apostle Paul's supporting churches. There's not a lot in Scripture about the relationship between the missionary and their supporting church. There's some, but there's not a lot. But we have a unique view in Philippians between a supporting church and the missionary, the Apostle Paul. And we learn a little bit about Philippi back in the book of Acts and in 2 Corinthians. I'm just going to refer to a few passages. The Bible teaches in Acts chapter 16 that Philippi was in Macedonia and that they were able to go and minister there. And the Apostle Paul went there, was able to proclaim Christ. He was thrown in prison. There was an earthquake at midnight, and he and Silas were brought out. They were able then to start that church and be able to have that ministry there, to be able to start that church, to be able to turn it over to a pastor, and to go elsewhere. And that church then began to support missions and to support other churches as well. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as well, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, is sort of challenging them because they had said they were going to be giving to a, you could call it a missions project, and they hadn't given so yet, and he uses the churches of Macedonia as an example, and that would have included Philippi. And he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality." You say, okay, what does that mean? It means that even through their poverty, they gave generously to this missions project that the Apostle Paul is pointing out. So that teaches us two things about the churches of Macedonia. One, they were poor. They were not wealthy. Two, they were still willing to give generously, to give liberally to the work of the Lord around the world. So that gives us a little bit of background of the church at Philippi. And we find them once again here in Philippians chapter 4, and they have been sporadically supporting the Apostle Paul because of their financial situation. They weren't always able to do so, but we find that they've sent a support gift to the Apostle Paul. He has written a thank you letter to them. That thank you letter is called the Book of Philippians, and we have it here. Now, there's a lot of great content to the Book of Philippians, and it's not just a thank you note, but it is that as well. And that's the part I wanted to look at here in Philippians chapter 4. So first of all, we see the importance of this partnership. And we're going to look at a few words that are used here that help us to understand it. In verse 10, Philippians 4, verse 10, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." There's a few words I want to point out in these verses I just read. First of all, in verse 10, he says, "Your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Now that word careful is not used the same way we do, where we talk about being cautious. He's talking about being full of care, or careful. Use that way, a little bit differently than the way we would use it. So he's saying that you have cared for me. And he is thanking this church for their care. That care is the idea of a thoughtful concern, or a concern for others. They were caring for the Apostle Paul. The second word I want to point out is in verse 14 and 15, which is the word communicate. Now, when we usually talk about communicate, we usually think of a conversation. But the word that's used here for communicate has the idea of more to it. It means to make oneself a fellow partaker in common with. Another word we might use is a partner or partnership. What the Apostle Paul was saying is because of their support for his ministry, they were partnering with him. In verse 14, partnering with his affliction, partnering with him concerning giving and receiving. And he's saying, you've given multiple times to my needs. The Apostle Paul's in prison here. And he was very blessed by this gift because he knew that this church had gone through difficult times. They were not a wealthy church. They had gone through difficult times, and yet they were willing to give. And he's saying, because of this, you have partnered with me. That partnership isn't just the idea of finances. It goes beyond giving. It is showing concern, giving time to another person, and wanting to support this individual in every way possible. There's many ways to be able to support missionaries. Yes, finances are part of them. And pastors already mentioned that a couple times this evening, and that's important. The reason the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the church at Philippi, because they had sent a financial gift to him. But there's other ways as well. You can pray for your missionaries, and I'll talk about that in a bit. You can communicate with them. Today, it is not difficult to write a missionary an email to be able to communicate with them. You can visit missionaries wherever they are. There is many opportunities to get involved in your missionary's life. You need to look for those opportunities and embrace those opportunities. That partnership is two ways. Your missionaries are communicating with you, sharing needs, sharing what the Lord is doing on the mission field, and you have the opportunity to reach out to them and to be a blessing to them and to partner with them in the ministry as they serve on your behalf in the mission field across the world, wherever that they are located, in our case, in New Zealand. The second part of this partnership I wanted to look at was prayer, and I mentioned I would talk about that. If you turn over to chapter 1, we're just going to look at a couple verses that refer to that. And in this passage, we see that this prayer was two-way. The Apostle Paul was praying for this church, and this church was praying for the Apostle Paul. That's the way prayer should be. We should be praying one for another. In fact, Scripture says that numerous times. Prayer shouldn't be just one way. I mean, it's one way to the Lord, obviously. But if I'm praying for someone, they should be praying for me as well. Now, it doesn't mean if you're not praying for me, I'm not going to pray for you. We don't say that. We don't make those kinds of distinctions. But we need to be praying one for another. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, the Apostle Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He's thanking God. That's prayer. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests for joy, with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So what he's saying is, he's saying, every time I think of you, I go to the Lord in prayer. I thank God for you. And my guess is he was praying for a number of different things for this church. Now, he would have had to know things about this church. He would have had to find out information about this church. But he was praying for this church. So the missionary was praying for his supporting church. A few verses later, in, you got to find the right verse, verse 19. So it'd be a little bit later in the passage, verse 19. He talks about the difficulties he's gone through. He's in bondage, means he's in prison here. And in verse 19 says, for I know that this shall turn, speaking of his situation he's in, shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. The Apostle Paul didn't know what would happen to him, didn't know if he'd live, didn't know he'd die, but he's saying, I will be saved from this. Whether it's by life or by death, I will be saved from this ordeal. But he says in verse 19, he says, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Two reasons. He's saying, I know I'm going to get through this ordeal first of all, because of you praying for me. That was important to the Apostle Paul, and he took the time, under the inspiration of the Lord, to let this church know that. That was vital to him. Secondly, through the power of the Lord. The Lord was going to empower him through this as well. Your missionaries need you to pray for them. It is not just enough to send them financial gift. That is important. I'm not downplaying that. But it is vital that you pray for them. In New Zealand, we have had spiritual attacks on our ministry. We have had spiritual attacks on individuals in our church. They've gone through difficult times. They've gone through physical problems. And we are praying for them, obviously. We're involved in praying and ministering to them. But we need others to pray for them as well. And that's one of the reasons we send out a prayer letter. And we need you praying for us. Take a prayer card. Read our prayer letter. Be praying for us as we serve the Lord on your behalf. Our people, our family needs your prayer. Our church needs your prayer as well. The third thing that's produced or needs to be a part of or really is a result of partnership in ministry back in chapter 4. If you turn back over with me to chapter 4, we'll carry on in Philippians chapter 4 looking at this passage. We talked about the communication and how the church had given several times. And in verse 17, it says, not because I desire a gift. He's clarifying with his church. I'm not being materialistic, he's saying. I don't just want your money. Okay, that's not my goal. He says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Pastor referenced this earlier when he was talking about missions. There is fruit that abounds to your account through your partnership with missionaries around the world. The ministry of this church isn't just here. It is all over the world. The idea of the word abounding to your account, that was an accounting term. The idea there is interest bearing. There is interest that abounds to your account. I have no idea how that works. I don't know how God keeps track of it. But I know as you partner with ministries around the world and missionaries, and as souls are saved, churches are started, people are baptized, growing in the Lord, God will reward you for that. And you don't probably, I know myself, we don't think about that all the time. But that is a huge blessing. I was earlier today, this morning, we were at Open Door Baptist Church up in Catalina. That church didn't exist all that many years ago. It started back in 2010. In fact, I met Pastor Kramer at a missions conference in Las Vegas. That's how I met him. That's how I got to know him. And your church partnered with him to be able to start that church. That church exists now. And that is fruit that is added to your account. Now, they support us. And you support us. And now there's a church in New Plymouth, New Zealand that didn't exist just a few years ago called Lighthouse Independent Baptist Church. And people have been saved. People have been baptized. Those people now are being a witness to other people. Other people are coming to Christ. And that's fruit that abounds to your accounts. What a blessing. How God keeps track of it all, I have no idea. I'm sure we'll be amazed and in awe of what God is doing and what God has done when we are in heaven. But that is fruit that is born to your account. And that should be an encouragement to you. Not just in what the Lord is doing, but encouragement to try to do more as well. You know, Pastor mentioned your missions goal. Work hard towards that. You have a goal set. You have the opportunity to be involved in ministries around the world. He goes on in verse 18 to carry on his discussion of what happens when you partner with missions. Obviously, fruit applied to your account, I mentioned that, and we have young people in our church that are being a witness and sharing Christ hoping to go into ministry even. That's fruit that is born to your account. But it goes further, and in verse 18, the Apostle Paul, again, dealing with this gift that he's been given, he says, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So what the Apostle Paul is saying is, I've received the gift you've sent me. First of all, he says, that it is an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, I don't think this was perfume, okay? He's not actually describing the gift itself. He is referring back to the practice of when there was a sacrifice given, sometimes they would burn incense. And that incense would have an aroma. It would smell very well. And they did it in Old Testament times in the temple in Jerusalem and in the tabernacle before that as well, as part of worshiping the Lord. And that smell would come before the Lord, and that was an odor of sweet smell. And what he's saying is this gift, it was sacrificial. I know, the Apostle Paul is saying, I know your church. I know that it's poor. It's gone through difficult times. Your sacrifice is pleasing to God, which is the goal. The goal is to please the Lord. And he's saying your sacrifice has pleased the Lord. And he says, because of this sacrifice, because of this gift, he says, I am full. Now that word full is the idea of well supplied. It means filled up. I don't need anything else. When I was younger, a teenager and into my Bible college years, during the summer, sometimes, a couple, 3 years, I worked at McDonald's. I didn't like working at McDonald's. I didn't want to work at McDonald's. I worked at McDonald's because it was a job and I needed a job. So sometimes you do what you have to do. And sometimes I would have the job to unload the truck and stock the back of the restaurant with the things off the truck. Now, when that was done, we were full of our supply. We had everything we needed to carry on as a restaurant in providing things for the customer. We had everything. I would unload and we'd have trays of all kinds of stuff stored in the back that we could use to feed people. We were full. We were well supplied. We had everything we needed. Now, the Apostle Paul here is saying that we have everything we need in Christ, but God sometimes, we have other needs as well, and God uses others to supply those needs. And the Apostle Paul is telling this church, God has used you to meet everything. I'm full. I'm filled up. But he also realizes, through the inspiration of the Lord as well, that this church no doubt has needs as well. They're poor. Yet they've given generously. So he carries on in verse 19, and he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that's a verse we know very well, isn't it? But I don't think a lot of times we think about where it's found in the Bible. It is found right in a passage where the Apostle Paul is talking about a gift from a supporting church to a missionary. And he is thanking them. In fact, the word that's used that we see there, the idea of shall supply all your need, refers back to the I am full found in verse 18. What he's basically saying there is, you've filled me up. I know my God, he's going to fill you up as well. He's going to take care of you. You've met my needs. He's going to meet your needs. You have given sacrificially. I know that, and I know how my God is. He's going to care for you. Now, we don't give to missions to get, okay? There's a difference. You don't give to missions to get, but when we give sacrificially to missions in obedience to the Lord and in a desire to see the Lord's word go forward and to glorify him, God is saying here, I'll take care of you. I'll provide your needs. Now, there's a difference between needs and wants. And some of these needs would be spiritual needs, not just physical needs. So make those clarifications. But what he's saying here is as we sacrificially give to missions and share, use what God has given us to see the gospel spread around the world, God is going to take care of us as well. And as we give sacrificially, the Lord will supply our needs. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What a measure. He says, I'm going to supply these needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if it was my job to meet your physical needs and your spiritual needs, I'd be pretty limited because it's just me. On both accounts, I can't meet very much spiritual needs. The Lord can. And physical needs, well, I'm not wealthy by any means. But God is. And so the Apostle Paul, knowing his position, says, that he'll supply these needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the ultimate measure. He can do anything. He is God, and he has all power to do so. And then ultimately, this partnership produces praise to God. And in verse 20, he says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." The Bible says that we are to do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Our desire in life is to bring honor, praise, and glory to God. And I realize this is concluding really the whole book, but it's concluding this section as well. And what he's saying here is that kind of partnership where you have a missionary and a church that are working together to see the gospel go forward, both at home and abroad, brings honor and glory to God. It brings a close partnership and a fellowship. It produces prayer in a relationship that exists there. It produces fruit abounding to the account of really both that are involved, the church and the missionary. It helps provide the needs both of the missionary and the church, the Bible is saying here in this passage. And ultimately, it brings glory to God. So you say, okay, what can I take from this passage? Mainly two major things. One, encouragement. Your church, we thank you, has partnered with us for a number of years now, and we've been able to take the gospel to New Zealand. A church exists there that didn't exist before. People have been saved. People have been baptized. People are growing in the Lord. You are a part of that. And as those people are now reaching out and trying to see others come to Christ, that is fruit that is abounding to your account. And it carries on. It's carrying on now on Monday in New Zealand as the people go about their business and are busy sharing Christ and desiring to people see people say, it's going on every single day. That is a result of your ministry. You should be encouraged. That should be exciting. There is fruit that is being produced to your account. But it also should be a challenge. And it should be a challenge in a few different areas. First of all, make sure you know your missionaries and partner them. Get to know them. Email them. Find out about them. Make sure you know their needs. Pray for them. Let them know how they can pray for you. Make that an important part of your relationship beyond just sending them a check. And I'm not being critical or anything like that. I'm challenging, okay? I'm not being critical. I'm challenging. And then secondly, look for opportunities to try to do more. Expand. Do more and see what God can do in and through you around the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. Lord, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for the opportunity we had to meet them, Lord, 6 years ago, and for their desire to be able to partner with us in ministry. Thank you for what you have been doing, Lord, in New Zealand. And Lord, thank you for the fruit that has been born and produced and according to your word, applied to their account. And Lord, I pray that you continue to do so. And Lord, help them to do even more for you around the world through missions. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.